Co-parenting, or shared parenting, is a way for divorced, separated, or never married parents to approach the challenges of raising children together, even when they've chosen not to live together or maintain an intimate relationship with one another. Managing this partnership can pose special challenges, but the rewards for our children are invaluable. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Joy Trejo, with Early Childhood Programs and Family Services at the Campagna Center in Alexandria. Thank you, Joy, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sonia, for having me.
Last year, millions of families in this country struggled with divorce, and many additional unmarried parents separated after having children together. Today, we'll discuss what it means for parents, regardless of their relationship with one another, to put their children first and commit to co-parent. So let's start, Joy, by defining what some of the challenges that co-parenting can pose.
Well, parenting in general, whether you're a married couple or you're co-parenting because you're no longer together, can pose a lot of different issues. Different parenting styles cause conflict and confusion with each other and your children sometimes. Hurt, unresolved feelings, if you're going through a separation or a divorce or a breakup, can create major communication issues with the other parent. And just in general, making shared decisions and being a parenting team is a big issue in co-parenting.
Very good. Well, and we want to put our children first. So let's get right to the heart of it. What are the benefits to children? Why is this so important?
It's so important to remember that kids should recognize that they're more important than any conflict their parents may have, and understand that your love for them as a parent will always prevail despite any of the challenges or the changes in the relationship you may have with the parent you had the child with, or with a new parent that may come into your life. So cooperative parenting ensures that our children feel secure. When they're confident of the love of both of their parents, they adjust much more quickly and easily to change and have higher self-esteem. They benefit from the consistency. They are better able to understand how to effectively problem solve because they've watched their parents do it from a very young age. And throughout their life, they'll always have a healthy example to follow, because by cooperating with the other parent, you're establishing a lifelong pattern that your child can carry into their future and onto with their children.
Very well put. So how can parents get started with co-parenting? What are some tips and strategies you offer parents?
Well, first and foremost, the most important thing is to focus on developing similar rules, discipline routines, techniques and schedules, transition routines. All of those things that one parent may be doing at his home, mom needs to be doing at her home as well, as much as possible. Clearly, there are going to be some disagreement in parenting styles or differences in schedules depending on the week. But those basics, as long as they are there and the child can depend on it, that will make sure that that child feels safe. Good co-parenting relationships definitely have the ability to separate the issues, particularly if they're unresolved, between the two parents and their marriage or relationship from the issues about raising their child. Also, having a positive regard for the other parent simply because they are the parent of the child that you share together is ultimately important. That breeds healthy communication. It breeds the ability to communicate, compromise, and negotiate. And in this situation, negotiation and compromise are going to be key. And then that often leads to agreement in child-rearing issues if you're able to see the other person's side and understand also where they came from in terms of how they were parented. Because we all have to remember that our parenting style is often predicated on how we were raised.
Mm-hmm. And so we may feel like I don't want to have a relationship with you personally, but I need to recognize how important you are in my child's life and to be able to acknowledge that and work with the partner for the benefit of the child.
Exactly, because for as long as we have this child, which will be the rest of our lives, we will always be their parent.
So what can get in the way of successful co-parenting? What are some of the stumbling blocks?
Well, the biggest things that can get in the way are the refusal or the lack of clear communication between parents. That can often start with a small disagreement that escalates into arguments in front of the children. And those are the things that you always want to try to avoid. So the first thing to make sure that you establish in order to successfully co-parent is a communication technique that works for the both of you. Are you going to communicate by email? Are you going to communicate by notes or by phone calls outside of the earshot and of the reach of the children? And to always remember that no matter what you and your co-parent are discussing, your child is not a sounding board for any of that information.
Great point. So if we want children to be able to focus on the challenges of childhood, they need to feel safe. And part of making them feel safe is that we don't have those arguments in front of them that make them feel so vulnerable.
And I think the important part of feeling safe is for them to feel safe to be a child. And a child doesn't have to make those adult decisions or set their own schedule or make a decision about who they want to pick, their mommy or their daddy. Children should never be asked to pick that whenever possible, simply because they need both of their parents. If both their parents are around and willing and able to be a part of that child's life, it really shouldn't be tampered with in that sense.
Great tips. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Joy Trejo from the Campania Center, and we're talking about co-parenting. So even parents who are married often disagree or have different parenting styles, and that's not totally a bad thing because it helps children learn that different people see things in different ways. So is it absolutely essential that co-parenting partners agree on everything?
Absolutely not. Parenting styles are as individual as who you are as a human being and how you developed as a person. And remember, as I said before, those are often predicated on how you were raised. And good or bad, right or wrong, a lot of those parenting styles then come out in all of us. But parents can have their own styles. They don't have to be absolutely the same in their thoughts or their actions with their children. But the most important piece is for each parent to try to complement the other parent's parenting style, and if not possible, and they are contradictory, to agree to disagree on something that you're doing with the child that the other parent is not doing with the child. And again, to not argue about it in front of the children, and to make sure that the children don't know that you have this disagreement, but that you work it out in a manner that allows you to continue to be effective with your kids together.
So if you can agree on some basic boundaries and some things that are going to be sort of we hold this in agreement for our kids, mm-hmm. then within that there may be some opportunity to say at dad's house this rule applies, right. And at mom's house this rule applies, and kids can adjust to that.
And a lot of parents, what they'll do when they do decide to not be together anymore is to develop what's called a co-parenting plan. So all those things are written down. So there's no question. Here's our schedule. Here's how we're going to transition the kids. For example, when we transition the kids and we exchange the children, we just exchange the children and pleasantries. But we don't exchange information because that can devolve into an argument or a discussion that the children just don't need to be a part of and probably doesn't need to be happening in front of their school. So it's important that within that co-parenting plan, and whether that's a plan that you two can come up with together or you can mediate, have someone mediate and help you do that, it's important because it sets the ground rules that are inalienable. So we know that no matter what, this is what we expect. If something's deviated upon or wants to be deviated upon, then you can have that conversation to say, hey, this isn't working for me anymore. I'd like, you know, our children are getting older. I'd like to try to change their bedtime. How do you feel about changing their bedtime to 9 o'clock instead of 8:30? And that you can both agree upon so that when they go to each other's homes, it's all the same. They know 9 o'clock is 9 o'clock is 9 o'clock.
Very good. Let's talk about some special cases where co-parenting can be extremely difficult. For instance, when one parent is incarcerated or is sent on active duty or is absent for another reason.
Well, and what can happen is that it has a profound effect on both parents, in addition to the effect on the children. The parent that has physical custody of the children may feel overwhelmed with a huge sense of responsibility for all aspects of the child's life and to make sure that they're making up for the absent parent. And this is really true when the co-parent really is geographically not available, or they may have some type of substance abuse or mental health issue that makes them emotionally unavailable to their children. So then the custodial parent then may feel overburdened. They may have a lot of guilt. They may feel very overprotective and feel like they're having to make a lot of self-sacrifice to make this work. The non-custodial parent or the parent that has gone away often feels that they've lost their family, and they might feel a lot of hopelessness and maybe even shame about how they're going to sustain a meaningful role in their child's life. And unfortunately, that can lead to the parent that's no longer in the picture sort of allowing themselves to just leave the picture.
Withdraw.
And both parents have to work really hard to make sure that that doesn't happen. Because again, if both parents are willing and able and are true to their love for their children, then that's really what their children need. So there are things that both parents can do when the child is separated from one parent, whether for a day or for a long period of time. So very, very young children, 0 to 3, need frequent reminders of the absent parent. And you can do that through pictures, voice recordings, cards, songs that you sing that you make up about the parents or that you used to sing together with your parent. Preschool age kids, 3 to 5, they love frequent phone check-ins, letters, drawings, stories, messages that their parents sends them, you know, especially just for them. And school age kids, believe it or not, like knowing that that absent parent knows what's going on with their schoolwork, with their friends, with sports, with hobbies. No matter how far away they are, they still need to know that that parent not only knows what's going on, but is involved in it and is co-parenting with the other parent, even long distance, to make shared decisions. So the custodial parent who may have positive or negative feelings about the other parent being away, their job is to try to just reflect the child's sadness or fear or validate the child's frustration over the absent parent being gone, but then reassuring them that they, as the parent that's physically there in front of them, isn't going anywhere. That's very important because children need to know that they can vent their feelings, but the parent in front of them is going to be able to take it in and accept it and help them feel better about the situation.
So we're almost out of time, but I did want to visit another sort of special circumstance. I think in an ideal world, we hope that both parents are going to agree on this co-parenting contract and can agree to disagree on certain things. But let's face it, in the real world, some parents listening may feel like they're the only one who's trying and that they're not getting that sort of meeting of the minds from the other end. So can you offer a few tips to the parent who feels like they're co-parenting on their own?
Definitely. I think the first thing is that respect goes a long way. First, you're respecting the needs of your children. So you are always going to want to try to be as civil and encouraging to the other parent as possible, as hard as it is, as difficult as it may be to be even in their physical presence. It's important to be the example to your child of how to handle conflict and to also, if possible, continue to emphasize to the other parent how much your children need that both of you in their lives. And to keep talking, developing those ways of communicating that is least disruptive to that person, creates the least amount of argument and derision in your relationship, and to continue to exchange the children and not information when you're physically in each other's presence. And in this situation, because you have a parent that may be more resistant or just is having a hard time joining with you in the co-parenting, you're going to have to not sweat the small stuff. And just be able to compromise and remember the most important things. If your children are safe and they're well taken care of and they feel loved by both parents, that's all that matters right now. If bedtimes can't be worked out or what the child's going to wear to school on Monday or other simple things like that can't be worked out, it'll work itself out in time. Just keep working at it. And to make sure that the most important things, basic schedules, basic transitions, basic understandings are there.
So keeping perspective is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Parenting is a difficult job, even in the best of circumstances. So when two unmarried adults are co-parenting, the challenges might seem to multiply on a daily basis. By making the commitment to raise your children together, even while living apart, you show them that they are the priority in your lives, and you are willing to do what it takes to support them and keep them safe. There are many co-parenting classes and support groups in our region. Reach out for support to make the best decisions for your child. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Joy Trejo for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can help families thrive. For information about co-parenting and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.